Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, welcome into the Tuesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Preds in action tonight, taking on the New York Rangers. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock. Peter Laviolette back in town. Not going so hot for him either.
Rangers might leave him here.
They might. Peter, you're very familiar with the city of Nashville. Have fun.
Would you like to stay?
We'll see you
later. For the holidays.
We'll have Preds Pick the Click coming up a little bit later in the program. John Glennon for the Nashville Post will be with us at 8 o'clock. Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. Let's see. It's finals week. It's college football playoff week. And lost in fantasy football in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy League. We're all out. Congrats to the semifinalists. I'm very happy that Kuharski's not one of them. You told me I'm playing Kuharski in the fifth place game this week.
That is correct.
All right, man. That's big.
That's a big game.
That's big. Got to get that fifth place. So we're looking at what? Kyle. Do you remember?
Daniel.
Jack.
And I'm trying to remember the bracket off the top of my head. Let me pull it up real quick.
Is it DJ?
It is not DJ. It is Jason Hull, who's been in first place all year.
So one of you will get the incredible prize of being able to be in this league again next year. What an absolute. We're gonna add something to that, right?
We'll see.
Maybe
it's not up to me.
Maybe that's what the loser of our Pigskin Pick'em should buy that.
Well, maybe so.
I don't know. Just a thought.
It may be something we have to do. As Retro brings up ideas for losers of Pigskin Pick'em while I'm in last place.
I mean, or maybe it's all right, maybe
I got
the winner.
I got the Pick'em. Art of Sport Bowl and the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl coming up. I'll be fine.
Still
games left
you.
To be played this week.
Those are big for you.
No doubt
you
about
need
it.
Them.
We got a lot to get into on the program today. We'll get into Tennessee and Ohio State coming up in the college football playoff a little bit later in the program. Is John Robinson going to end up with the New York Jets? We'll get into that a little bit later in the program as well. We begin with Brian Callahan and reaction to some of his comments yesterday at his weekly Monday press conference. So we knew heading into the press conference yesterday, Joe, that the story of the day was going to be Will Levis, the benching that took place on Sunday, and what the plan was at quarterback for the Titans as they move forward this week to take on the Indianapolis Colts. And right out of the gate, Brian Callahan was asked about the plan at quarterback and the decision that is forthcoming as to whether or not Will Levis will be the starting quarterback. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say to begin his press conference yesterday.
We'll go through your thought process and determine maybe where to go from here at the quarterback position and what kind of time frame do you think you'll
have? Yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to use the next 2 days to go through that process and make sure that, you know, the decision we make is the best one for our football team, and not really much to add to it at this point, and that's something we can visit with later in the week. So take the time here that I have to go through it all and make sure, you know, we're doing the right thing.
So that was Callahan. Not willing to name a starter at quarterback for this week, Joe. Did not commit one way or the other to Will Levis or Mason Rudolph. Said he was going to take the next couple of days and make the best decision for the football team. What'd you make of that from Brian Callahan yesterday?
Well, I know we're going to get into other stuff too, but yeah, I think that I come away with the same conclusion that I think you do, which is it all adds up to me. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Mariota Tannehill thing, which is a totally different thing, of course. But at that point, you're at the end of the rope with Mariota. You're trying to save a season. You have a very, you know, viable option afterward. They took some days that week after the Denver game. They end up going to Tannehill. I mean, it seems to be adding up to Mason Rudolph taking over, which. If that's the case, and then you get into, I guess you have to wait to see if that is the case. But if that is the case, man, it's hard to to buy like Levis as a serious option for them.
Yeah.
After this, like after the season.
Yeah. Like it, if that's the case and that's the route they decide to go, it kind of feels like the Will Levis era here is over. Now, he could be on the roster next year. He probably will be on the roster next year, but it feels like him as a viable option for a starting quarterback moving forward is over. That's just the kind of the way it feels to me at this point. And Callahan had some more comments that kind of, I think, foreshadow what could be coming here that I thought were pretty interesting. He talked about holding players to the same standard. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on that front yesterday.
Do you feel the other guys in the locker room have lost confidence in Will being able to win?
I don't feel that way right now. No, I don't think that that's the case. I just think that, you know, when you make mistakes, you know, plenty of guys on our roster throughout the course of the season have you know, they're just held to a certain standard, and you want to make sure that standard is consistent enough across the board at all positions. So just got to make sure that that's the standard we follow, and that the, you know, at the end of the day, if you're in position to make plays and you don't make them, or we have errors that cost us games, those all count the same, I think, across the board. So those are the things that I have to look at to make sure that we're doing right by everybody involved.
So he talked about that in kind of several different fronts yesterday in terms of holding players to the same standard. He brought up like linebacker. They've made some changes at that regard. Obviously, right tackle. They've made some changes based off performance and the certain standard that they have, and wanting to make sure that that is maintained throughout the lineup, including at the quarterback position. And Joe, I'll be honest, when he started talking about that, that kind of told me without telling me that they're making a change this week at quarterback. He didn't outright say it, but when you start diving into that realm, I don't think you're coming back from that if you're Callahan.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I'd guess the same thing. And I really don't agree with what he's saying. I mean, like it's a great idea. You know, anybody across the board, defensive linemen rotate in and out. Like, positions are different, you know. So, quarterback is different. It just is. And especially when, as we all know, as he's talked about a million times, when you have the young quarterback in the second year who you're trying to develop, you expect to have mistakes. Like this idea of like, well, sorry, you know, you're out of there. You have to sit down for that one. He made a mistake. You make a mistake. Sit down. It's not the same thing at all. So to me, it's almost like spin to get everybody ready for what they're really saying, which is, yeah, we just don't think Will's got it.
Yeah. No, exactly. Like it is different. Now, I will say, like, right tackle, the example you bring up there, like, if you find a functional right tackle, you're not rotating the right tackle. So
Sure.
Like, it is position by position different. A quarterback, just bottom line in general, is different than any other position you want to throw out there in football. It just is. So I agree with you. Like, I think there could be some spin zone going on there. Because the other part of this is, like, we've seen Mason Rudolph play this year. It's not like it's exactly like the standard has been elevated to some unreachable level with Mason Rudolph at quarterback this year. So I believe this is Brian Callahan telling you, without explicitly telling you, that he's out on Will Levis. That's what this is to me.
I agree. Of course, we're going to say this, and then it's like, yeah, it's Will. And they're like, oh, okay.
I'll put it this way. If he comes out on Wednesday and says it's Will Levis as a starting quarterback, I will be very surprised at this point.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, I will run into traffic wearing a chicken uniform.
I will not do that.
Okay, all right.
But I will, like, that one yesterday, that press conference, to me, almost left, like, no room for doubt that it's not going to be Levis moving forward.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like preparing everyone for Levis. And, again, yeah, of course, yeah, a lot of positions they don't rotate. But I'm just saying, like, it's different, especially with a young quarterback. And also, we talked earlier in the year when I think it matters more in terms of, you know, if the guys in the locker room think that you're screwing them over with a chance to win games by playing, at some point you have to take that into account. And they're 3-11 with three games left. To me now, we're at the point where, look, everybody's got to be a pro in that building. And they're you got film, and you got meetings, and you got all the things, and you're trying to win a football game. But I don't think that really matters much anymore. So to me, it all adds up to, if you do this, you're saying something bigger. He's going to say on Wednesday, if they decide to do this. No, no, this doesn't mean that. I'm not buying it at all.
No, because look, he also said a couple of questions yesterday that, you know, those are more like postseason questions, like after the season, getting into like the future of some of that stuff. So, like, he's obviously not willing to go down that road yet in terms of, well, let me just lay out the entire future plan at quarterback and my thoughts on all that yet. Now, is that going to come at the end of the year? If he still, you know, has his job at the end of the year, then yeah, then you'll probably start to hear some of that at that point. But I don't expect Brian Callahan on Wednesday, even if he's naming Mason Rudolph the starting quarterback for the rest of the way, to just be like, well, you know, we wish Will the best of luck in the offseason, and we look forward to the draft trying to come up with another solution at quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, yeah, you know, and there's going to be – and look, some of this is – it's spin, but, like, I do in general subscribe to it. He'll say, yeah, like the nothing is final thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's – I mean, that's true. Levis is going to be in this league, and at some point he get another opportunity, and who knows? He may run with it in 3 years somewhere else. Kaharski has already, you know, prophesied this for Will Levis, so – so nothing's final, but here it feels like we're heading toward that, and I can't argue against it. So here's the thing: I saw from a lot of Titans fans, or I've heard the same general thing, which is, if this entire thing comes back next year, like, I can't do it. You know,
yeah.
I'm out. Well, if the owner is not going to get rid of the front office and coach, there's only one other thing you can do to tell people: the new era, we got something new next year.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the kid takes the fall.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying he has earned his way to start next year and it's unfair, but I'm just saying that's if you're not moving on big picks from the big stuff, then that's your
right.
Last choice.
It would be a pretty tough sell, regardless of how much you wanted to stay patient and or, you know, the continuity and all that stuff. Like, bringing all three phases of this back next year, the quarterback, the front office, and the head coach, would be a pretty darn tough sell after the way this season has gone. It just, in my opinion.
I mean, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it along with, you know, like an Amy
a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth
explaining why. Yeah.
We're really encouraged by what we saw this year. 3-11 is one step away from 7-whatever it would be at that point. 7-6.
Is that right?
It's not right at all.
7-7. Yeah, you're fine. Whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's a hard sell.
We love Will.
I hope we get an Amy.
I hope we do too.
Video or, I mean, presser, but I mean, I'm not holding my breath on that one.
Cameo. TikTok appearance.
A cameo.
Something. Yeah.
There we go.
And had cameo reference in a while.
We haven't.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Brian Callahan unwilling to commit to his starting quarterback for this week yesterday at his press conference. Is the Will Levis era in Nashville over? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We are live here on our 1025 The Game studios. Brought to you by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, people are mad. On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Sometimes I look at area codes, because when I read this, I'm like, uh-oh, this might be a Levis family member. First of all, I'll read it. Sounds like you guys are having a great morning, knowing Will Levis's career at Tennessee is almost done. This is what Nashville wanted the whole time, ever since he's been drafted. Hell, I don't think anybody can play under this fan base the way he's been treated. And I said, that's a bitter and inaccurate text. We're not jumping for joy, and this is not what Nashville wanted. Nashville wanted
good quarterback play.
Nashville wanted Billie Jean's to be the best QB in the league. So, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Then I looked at the area code. I'm like, is this like a Connecticut? Is this a family member? But it's an 808, which is which is Hawaii. Is this Marcus Mariota?
Marcus.
Is this Marcus telling us that nobody can play under this fan base the way he's been treated? I mean, I don't know. Do we have we have Rabel listening? Do we have Marcus listening? Who else do we have listening? Malarkey, are you out there? That's a silly. I mean, in all seriousness, the idea that nobody can play on this fan—it's the NFL. I mean,
Philadelphia's got nothing on these.
Yeah, exactly. Go to some other places. I think there's definitely more patience here. You know, the one thing with Levis that we talked about the whole time, we kind of had fun with it. I mean, there is some truth to it. Like, definitely, like the Vols fan element of the Titans. Some Vols fan like or just hated him, right?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Saw him suck, by the way, against the Vols in his last game, and just there was this. Because, you know, Levis is a guy who, if Levis were to ever become like a, as we've talked about also, like a great quarterback in this league, he'd be very hated by opposing fan bases.
Agreed.
The way, I mean, he's very intense out there and demonstrative and all that stuff. But, nah, it's ridiculous. I mean, this fan base badly wants someone to work out. And Marcus, you know, went into year five. Now, Marcus goes into year five in part because Marcus played quarterback much better than Will Levis has at any point.
Yes.
And also, because Marcus was the number two pick, right? I mean, that's another part of it too. I mean, when you know, they took his option year, went into the option year, and then we know what happened. But yeah, apparently this person says I'm in the Navy. Oh, that's a very convenient, Marcus.
Hope you're enjoying your time in Washington right
and
now.
And congrats on the big win Saturday.
Or Army. Silver Mountain on Twitter, Joe, says this. Discuss this. Start working out Ryan Tannehill again. Resign immediately. Will Levis to the third quarterback, Mason Rudolph to two. Finish the season with a solution instead of guessing. Tannehill is a steadfast rudder with an offensive line that is better than the past. Will prove I'm correct in my assessment. Check me. This is from Silver Mountain on Twitter.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. I mean,
Ryan,
if you're serious, it's pretty dumb.
I know that you haven't signed anywhere all year, that you are basically like – in pseudo-retirement at this point.
And it's Christmas shopping season, but come on up to Nashville.
Would you like to come back for a 3-11 football team and play 3 weeks of quarterback?
They really need to have 3 weeks of Ryan Tannehill quarterback. That'll really everybody will feel a lot better about things, you know?
Right. I mean, you're not doing anything, Ryan, so get out here and maybe you can be the quarterback next year too for a team that is not going to be anywhere close to in the Super Bowl.
I think my favorite part of that is, like, the offensive line's better. I mean, I'm sure Tannehill's watching the Titans this year thinking, I really wish I could stand in that pocket some more. The Tannehill thing is, by the way, it's just too bad for him. Again, a year ago, he's the call from Cleveland, right? They just never turned out to be a contender who had a need, which is the only way he's coming out. I wonder if he's going to just kick the can to another – I'm not retired, but I'm here season. But it will not be – I promise you this. I will bet everything I own. Ryan Tannehill will not quarterback the Tennessee Titans ever again.
No. No, he will not.
That's a guarantee.
Nor will they ask him to do that, by the way.
Right. Like, that's
a breakup. Ship has sailed.
Yes.
That ship has sailed. Now, he may come back at some point when, you know, they're honoring Mike Vrabel out there for some reason. Vrabel gets into the Titans Ring of Honor or whatever it is. God. Maybe Tannehill gets in there too.
Maybe, like, I mean, in seriousness, like Derrick Henry will be in there, so maybe he'll come back for that. Yeah. I'm say, right? You putting Vrabel in the Ring of Honor?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, you never know what can happen.
Just because he's listening, you don't want him to kick your ass?
I ain't afraid of Mike Vrabel.
Really?
No.
God, I am.
People have, like, they asked me one time, like, Shea Weber challenged you to a fight. Would you do it? I was like, yeah, I'd do it. I'd lose. I'd do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I hope you don't have a glass jaw.
I'd do it. Just wouldn't go very well. I'd know that too. Going into it.
I'd turtle.
Exactly. No, it's so Levis, a lot of interesting thoughts on this that are coming in on the YouTube chat and on the text line. It feels like it's over. It feels like Sunday's game was the final straw for Callahan and thus for, I guess, the organization. Now, one thing he did say yesterday that, like, if you do this, if you decide to move on from Levis and Rudolph's your quarterback moving forward here, like, is that a you decision or is that a decision that goes through ownership and with Rand Carthon? And his answer basically was, you know, we talk about everything all the time, and it was something that he and Carthon would discuss.
He basically said we collaborate.
Yes,
he basically didn't say that word, but he basically said we collaborate.
Basically collaborate is what he was alluding to there. So I don't think this is Brian Callahan just saying, Hey, guys, by the way, Will Levis is not your quarterback anymore. I'm making this decision. This is probably my guess, Joe. Been talked about at different points this season, and then Sunday's game after the benching in the middle of it was the final straw for Callahan. And if this happens the way I think it's going to this week and Rudolph's the quarterback moving forward, that will have been the final decision that they've come to as a group.
Right. And so I don't want to take it too far, but I do think that, as we talked about earlier, that was a lot of preparing people for it, and again, to me, a little bit of spin on why you would do it.
Yeah.
And I look at this too, again, I believe, of course, Amy Adams Strunk knows what's going on, has conversations with them, they all talk. Like, to me, this may never be spoken to them, to each other, by them to each other, but I also look at this like, this is the change that's being signified for next year, then the big changes other than that are not coming. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
I believe that's going to happen. I don't think I ever moved off 2.6%. I'm dropping that.
Are you?
I'm dropping it to 1.8%.
Oh, I'm keeping it exactly where it is.
What was yours, like 50-50?
It wasn't 50-50, but it was like 30-something.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's certainly possible, but this kind of, to me, adds up with the public, again, without saying it out loud, you know, things are going to be different because we're getting a better quarterback. Have patience with everybody else. That's what I believe the message is.
I could see that for sure. I leave. There's 3 weeks left in the regular season, baby. I leave a lot of room for this ownership to start meddling and get in there and whatever they want to do, whatever she is feeling that day, going on by the seat of her pants, make a decision at that point, which we've seen it over the last few years.
That's fair. Maybe Ryan should go get Tannehill. Save his job.
Need you to stabilize things here, Ryan.
Three wins in a row is all I need, buddy.
615-737-1025. So you bring that part of it up. I think that's an interesting segue into what we're going to talk about next. If they do this, and Callahan has seen enough of Will Levis, how does that influence the decisions that Amy Adams Strunk makes moving forward? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
These fans deserve a great team, and they deserve a championship brought to the city. And that's what we're going to work towards. And I'm prepared to make the hard decisions to hopefully get us there sooner. This team has a bright future. We have Rand. We have a promising young quarterback. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Oh, boy.
It adds up.
How's less than a year ago, Joe? Optimism was high from Amy Adams Strunk, looking forward to the future.
Did you just re-mute me?
No, Keezer's in there minding his own business.
I guess I must have double.
You turned into PK, just taking some shots at him.
You'll take shots
at my producer, isn't that right, Keezer?
Nope.
Yeah.
I have one hand on coffee, one hand on this audio. You think I had another tentacle that turned off your microphone? Nuh-uh.
I'm not sitting there watching you, man. I'm just. It was just
clearly
weird.
I thought you were.
I must have double hit my mute. I'm sorry,
Boomer.
But hey. No, that's fine. Just get ready. You got a lot of PK coming for you this week.
Yeah, that's fine.
You better enjoy that.
Better get in there and stretch.
Yeah, when you said, you said there was a lot of optimism. I thought you meant like around town. I'm like, I don't think there was a lot. Yeah, with her.
Oh, she was fired up.
She was projecting optimism there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting listen a year later. Boy.
We have Ryan.
A lot of cap space. At some point in that, she's talking about cap space, too.
Yeah, it's right after that, yeah.
Like cap space.
Yeah, like cap space. Rand
cap space, Levis.
Young, promising quarterback.
It's not just you that I keep receipts on, Joe.
Ooh.
Good job.
Yep, not good. Not good. So, if this goes the way I anticipate it going this week, Joe, then I guess we'll see. You know, Wednesday, I guess there's a chance Callahan could get out there and say, Will Levis is the starting quarterback the rest of the year. I don't know if it would change my opinion too much on the way things are trending here, but let's operate under the assumption that he is not going to be the quarterback this week, and Mason Rudolph is. If Callahan is out on Levis, how does that influence the decisions that Amy Adams Strunk has to make at the end of the year? And look, maybe she's already made them. Maybe in her mind it's pretty simple, and Callahan's coming back next year, and Carthon's coming back next year, and they're giving this one more kick at the can to try to figure things out. Now, I don't know that I'm necessarily in love with that idea if I'm a Titans fan. Like, you bring up the idea of finding another quarterback. Well, what happens if you find another quarterback in the draft and they're 5-12 next year? You firing Callahan and Carthon then? And then starting all over again with another coach and GM with this quarterback that they've in turn just selected? Like, that idea really doesn't sound all that appealing to me. But how do you think, if this is what I think it is, and Callahan is out on Levis, how does that influence what Amy Adams Strunk does after this year?
Yeah, well, so if you play it out from my prediction, expectation, which is basically, again, without the Titans putting up a billboard, said it was more on the quarterback. You know, it was mostly Levis's fault. Like, that's kind of going to be the subtle messaging, okay? Now, look, quarterback's very important, but, I mean, there's the fair argument that, no, actually, let's blame the coaching. Or, you know, actually, look at this team in the front office. But fine, if that's the way they're going to go. I also then think that it's more likely that the solution at quarterback is a veteran. Now, I don't know what that is. But a veteran and an attempt to spend more money and shore up certain things, and obviously you have to have a great draft and hope that, again, next year you get back to what the league is designed for all teams to be, at least, which is middling and still hanging on in a playoff race by this time in a season. But I don't think that's not insanely impossible. It's just a question of who is the quarterback.
Right, but like if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, like, that makes sense from Carthon and Callahan's standpoint, because they're getting ready to be in job preservation mode, and they want to turn things around and start winning games next year. So I get that. But like, if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, the pathway to getting to what she just talked about in that clip we played, where you're competing for a championship, is not going out this offseason and bringing in Jameis Winston or Sam Darnold or who, like, Sam Darnold. Like, again, if people keep bringing up Darnold, like, I don't think he's going to be an option this offseason. Maybe he is, but I just don't think so. So, like, I don't know that the gap stop veteran quarterback, if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, is long term what makes the most sense for you.
Well, but if there aren't any of these rookies that you like, then what's your alternative? You know what I mean?
What's the alternative? But, like, what good does it do you if there are none of your rookies you like this year? You bring in a veteran quarterback and you go 7-10 next year. These guys save their job, and then you're not really in a position to draft a quarterback the year after that.
First of all, I don't know that 7-10 does save their job. But what I would say is, first of all, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, yeah, everybody wants a championship. You want to not be an embarrassment next year, okay?
Yes.
So if you're letting these guys keep their jobs, that means to me that you think that they're capable, in tandem with, like, Snead being on the field next year, whatever, things like that, but that they're capable of doing things other than quarterback to get your team to the point where it's not an embarrassment. That you must believe that. If that's the case and you have that team, then you are now, you're building a team around a quarterback. The stopgap, to me, makes sense if it's a good stopgap. That's the hard part.
That's when you run into
a
problem.
But the idea of build the team up, let these guys do it, have a great draft, have a great free agency period, get some of your guys that right now don't look so good, better hope they look better next year, and then you have something set up for a stopgap, and then whenever at some point,
yeah.
But again, like, then you get into, now you're too good to draft high.
Right,
but, like, you know, I mean, it's, if you're going to go next year and you're going to draft the rookie, you know, I mean, you could be a Texans of 2 years ago. You could be a Commanders of this year, but you're probably not going to be, you're probably going to be bad.
Probably. But do you find the quarterback like that? Like, if I maybe Adam Strunk, I think you have to know that until you find your quarterback, it doesn't matter what else you do. Like, this idea that, well, build up the team and then get this stopgap in there. Like, to me, the objective for the franchise right now is the same thing it was heading into this year, which is find your long-term answer at quarterback. Until you do that, like, I don't really know. Like, you're not going to be in a spot where you're competing for a championship.
Yeah, but I mean, Okay, but the best quarterback for this franchise since the McNair Super Bowl years was a stopgap guy you got for a fourth round pick, right? You can go around the league sure. right now and you can find stopgap or, you know, I mean, obviously Goff is the prime example. You know, quarterbacks who weren't your top five pick that turned into a great quarterback. I mean, like you also, you have to have a better football team too. Yes, of course, you're always trying to find the quarterback. But you also, like, you have to – I mean, you're bad at a lot of spots. You're bad. So, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league. I've said it. I'll say it. I always bring up Goff. He would suck here this year, okay? He's – Goff, by the way, who, by the way, threw five picks and did not get benched, just for the record. Yep. You know? So, you know, there's an example of a QB who, you know, the rest of the team seemed okay with him not losing his job when he threw five picks.
Yep.
I just – You know, look, they're a bad spot. Like, everything we talk about here, like, there's no great answer. But I know that you have to do a lot to a lot of areas of this football team to be competitive.
It just feels like to me, as we sit here today, this is setting up for one of two things. Either you're drafting a rookie quarterback next year on a team that, when you're taking away a draft pick from another position in need, like a right tackle or a wide receiver or an edge rusher, and using it on quarterback, like how set up for success is the rookie quarterback going to be next year if you're doing that? Probably not very well. Like, it's probably not going to go overly great in the first year. So then if you're keeping this group together, you keeping them next year when they go 5-12 again? Like, you just – are you that committed if you're Amy Adams Strunk to sticking with this and giving this thing a chance to go? And then the other option is, well, you don't draft a quarterback. You bring in some veteran guy. Hopefully things work out a little bit better for you, and you end up closer to the middle of the pack next year, and then you're still searching for a quarterback. Like, none of those options sound very good to me if I'm a Titans fan right now.
Yeah. Look, you have to get better at quarterback. So that's where it's like, first of all, what's even feasible? If nothing sounds good, if you can't, like, you know, like the Falcons are like, okay, we want to go to Penix next year.
Yeah.
Again, the Darnold thing, I'm with you. I think the Vikings would be crazy after what they're doing this year to just be like, hey, how about the rookie who was hurt all year? Let's just go to that. But, yeah, like Jameis, I mean, Jameis is going to be a roller coaster with picks galore.
And
I
you
mean,
could do a trade, but does that make sense? Like, are you at the point with your franchise – where you're giving away draft picks, whether it's a second-round pick or even if it's like a fourth-round pick? Like, are you to that point with your franchise where you're comfortable giving up draft picks for a veteran quarterback to come in here for a year or two?
Yeah, I mean, only if it's someone you really believe in, you think that you can win. And, again, that's the problem. How quickly can you get good beyond that? It's a bad spot. But, you know, I do think that if you're going to go the rookie quarterback way, then you have to also be – you have to be – if you're a man of strong, like, well, I'm here for more pain next year. As long as I see, you know, other people you bring in that show progress, it makes me think we could be good at some point. But I'm here for the possibility of a bad record because we have a rookie.
Bottom line, I hear you. I think you probably have to be in for that if that's the way you decide to go. If you're Amy Adams Strunk, I can guarantee you, this ain't what the plan was when you fired John Robinson and Mike Vrabel.
No.
It is not how you envision this going and working out.
9-29, I promise you. 9-29 was it's probably the reverse of what was hoped.
Brandon on YouTube says, the quarterback to save us from this nightmare is 2 years away. Arch Manning, sign Jameis in the offseason and build around for your quarterback in 2026. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. You know, people are excited about the 2026 QB class. Number one, I'd like to see Manning play a year of college football as a starter and then see what happens. But as multiple people have pointed out, like, his entire family has stayed in college all 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a guarantee he's coming out in 2026.
So he's a – well, yeah, someone said yesterday they've already said he's staying until 27, right?
I haven't seen that either. Now, I'm not saying he hasn't said that, but I have not seen that.
And I've watched him play. He's a great athlete. He's very talented. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, the fact that he's a Manning does not mean that he's actually going to be a worthwhile top 10 pick right at any point in his life.
Right.
I have no idea.
He could be.
He's good. He's fast.
Yeah.
He's a good runner. Get a good arm.
Yep.
We'll see.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of thoughts on this. We'll continue this discussion. If Brian Callahan is out on Levis, what does that mean for their future as a front office, as a coaching staff, and the future of the quarterback position? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. It is bowl season, and the Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, presented by Twin Peaks and Parma Tractor and Equipment. Today, tune in for the Frisco Bowl with Memphis taking on West Virginia on 94.9 The Fan, kickoff at 8 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis, the quarterback position, Brian Callahan's view of the quarterback position moving forward. And if Callahan is out on Levis, what does it mean for decisions coming up this offseason for Amy Armstrong? Now, one thing I do want to make clear, Joe, like, you don't have to have the first overall pick to find your quarterback of the future, right? Now, you know, a lot of years, the Titans being in the spot they're in right now at 3-11, you could be trending very quickly towards having the first overall pick, the second overall pick, whatever it is. Unfortunately for the Titans, a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year. A lot of bad teams. And right now I think they're picking sixth. Now there's 3 more weeks left in the season. That could change. That could change for the positive. That could change for the negative, depending on how you view things moving forward here. But the bottom line is they're going to have a relatively high pick, whether that's sixth, fourth, eighth, whatever it ends up being at the end of this year. You don't have to have the first overall pick to find your franchise quarterback. I mean, the Ravens found Lamar Jackson, I think, at 32nd. Packers found Jordan Love in the 20s. And you can find examples all over the place. Having said that, it doesn't seem like it's a great year for the quarterback front on the drafting part of this, beyond maybe Shedeur Sanders, and people have question marks about him. Cam Ward, we've talked about. A lot of talent, a lot of ability, some questionable decisions at times. Like, all of these quarterbacks have flaws. Like, there's no can't miss, quote-unquote, generational guy, I don't think, in this quarterback field this year.
No. Now, a lot of the can't miss generational guys aren't that anyway. So
look down south to Jacksonville.
Right. So, like, I could see Shedeur Sanders, with his accuracy, there is the way he throws a football, and he's good at extending plays too. Not like a great runner, but he's good at extending plays. I mean, I could see him being special. I think that's possible. Cam Ward, I mean, like, if I had to attach my franchise to a quarterback, I'd go with him.
Yeah.
Because as much of a fun watch as Cam Ward is, and he is fun, you know, you talk about what are you doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, to some extent, not unlike Levis in college, with, like, holy crap throws, and then what? And look, sometimes you can get that out of a player, or sometimes they're so good they overcome it. Like, you know, reverse Robin Hood, we always, cite your guy Brett Favre, you know. But for the most part, that's a little bit of a tough sell. And then, I don't know, everybody else, like.
Like, what is Milroe going to be in
yeah,
the
NFL? Yeah, I mean, gosh, at times.
What is Carson Beck?
Boy, I mean, his stock has plummeted this year. Again, the one time I saw Carson Beck in person this year for about 2.5 quarters of football, he was the number one pick against the Vols of all things. I don't know what happened there, but all of a sudden it was like lasers all over the field. But most of the year, if you watch him, it hasn't been there. Now, he's gotten very poor support from his receivers this year, worth keeping in mind. But, yeah, it's like if the Titans, you know, draft him in the second round. They go for something else, and then they're like, Carson Beck's there. It's like, wow, let's just repeat history. Take another SEC quarterback that fell to the second round and see how that works out.
Here's the other thing that's interesting about this, if I'm Amy Adams Strong. And I don't know what the answer to this is, because I think sometimes we like to play a little revisionist history around here and say, well, you know, the Levis pick was Vrabel. Like, Vrabel was the one that made the Levis pick. It's like, well, I'm not saying Vrabel didn't like Levis. I have no idea. I have no idea what Mike Vrabel thought about Levis in the draft process. But Rand Carthon was the general manager when they drafted Will Levis. So one thing I would love to know is, how involved was Carthon in making that decision? what were like, was he going to be, he's like, Levis is our guy. Not only do we have to take him, we got to move up to go get him in the second round. And like, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, knowing all these things that we don't know, like, how does that influence the way you view this regime picking the next quarterback? Yeah. That's always what I've thought about this. Like, you have to be, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, as you're making your decisions at the end of this season, the football itself has been horrible this year. And that's certainly a big part of this. To me, equally as big a part of this is you better be darn sure, if you're keeping these guys around, that these are the guys to make the right decision for you at quarterback moving forward. Because if you're not, that's not a good place to be as an owner.
Yeah, for sure. No, there's no doubt about that. And, yeah, look, if anybody is trying now to – it's Vrabel. That's bad spin. That's BS. I mean, I don't know exactly how all the discussions came down. We've talked about Charles' reporting on ownership-driven. What does that mean? Look, I mean, the bottom line is if they loved Levis, they take him in the first round. So yeah, they took Skoronski instead. I think it's a – I mean, I think it was clearly a case of, well, Levis is there. We like him. We don't love him, but we like him.
Right.
So they go. You know, and then how much of that draft was – look, that draft was – and this is, again, this is on Amy. But that draft was Ryan Cowden as a lame duck, basically, member of the staff running the draft board with, you know, obviously Vrabel, Carthon, this whole, like, let's collaborate, all this stuff. And, you know, obviously there's always great stories about, a scout or, you know, player personnel director, whatever, standing on a table for a guy and then, you know, there should be conversation and stuff. I mean, Blake Bedingfield is why the Titans got Derrick Henry. John Robinson was not going to do that at all. So that's good. But this, I think that draft was like okay, everybody, let's all just put a name. You got to have a little bit more of like a GM in charge, right? It doesn't mean it's not on Ryan Carthon's record as GM. It is. But I'm just saying, I think that draft in particular was a weird draft for the Titans. But you're right. Amy Adams Strunk, part of the thing here is, okay, well, if we're making this huge decision, do I trust these guys to do it? And I have no idea what the conclusion is. I don't think she's moving on from them. This is also why my prediction here is that there's a veteran QB before they ever get to the draft.
Could be. It very well could be. Which, again, I think I have my own problems with that too. But to your overall point is a good one of they're in a terrible spot. Like, they're in a bad spot. It's just that's what this season has taught us, and it makes you wonder, when are they getting out of it? Like, how close are they to getting out of this anytime soon? It's just not a very good spot to be in. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion coming to next. We'll also get into a former Titans general manager potentially on the move at some point coming up here in the next few minutes. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.